All right, so Matthew chapter 28. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. In fact, the word gospel means good news. And it's good news from beginning to end. When the angel appeared to the shepherds at Jesus' birth, in the beginning, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It was good news back then. And then Paul, when he talks about, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," that's Romans. And so we've got after the crucifixion and resurrection, it's good news still. And so it's good news all the way through. And we've celebrated communion, which is the cross, and it's only appropriate to do the resurrection right afterwards, isn't it? Because that's what happens next. And so we've been in Matthew 28 for several weeks, and we're in it again today. We're going to be doing the same texts today. There's just a lot in it. And I would probably be in it next week too. But if you think about what makes this good news, what would you say? What makes the gospel such good news? What's good news?
The short of the gospel is that we are now no longer dependent on our own works, our own ability to fulfill the law to receive salvation. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we are now able to, by faith and acceptance alone, receive salvation and know God again, have a relationship with
Yeah.
Him.
You can know God now. And your knowing God isn't dependent upon your keeping the law, your being circumcised, your doing the sacrifices, your praying the prayers, your doing good deeds, it's not dependent on that. It's not dependent on how good you are. It's dependent on what Jesus did, not what you did. That's good news. Because if it's dependent on what you did, I'm afraid we have bad news for you. You have to be perfect. And you're not. And you're in trouble. And so if it's dependent on you, you're in trouble. Good news, it's not dependent on you. Okay. Now, the end of the story of Jesus, well, I guess the end of the story of Jesus has not yet happened, has it? The end of the story of Jesus in the Gospels is really with the resurrection. And if you think about a resurrection from the dead, that's got to be good news. That's a huge part of the good news, is the risen Christ. So let's read Matthew 28, 1 through 10. And I'm just going to read. "Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Okay, here's what I want you to do on your sheet. We just read the text. We're in that section that says observations. I want you to write at least 5 observations that you have not written in the past 2 weeks. So we've been doing this for the past couple weeks. So I want new ones, things you've not seen from the past 2 weeks. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes to do this and you can go. Okay, so you've written some observations down. Give me some of them. What did you see in the text?
At first, Mary, yeah, went to the tomb.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the door open.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they see light. Mm-hmm. And angel and light, and white, with white dressing. Mm-hmm. And then the guard afraid, but the sound came to them, "Don't afraid," and said, "All of you see the Jesus crucified."
Yeah.
But he's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Okay.
And, this is a resurrection, and then after that, they went to the it is a message for them, go to the city and set the other people,
yeah,
what happened to,
yeah,
Jesus.
Okay, good. Okay, somebody else.
The women didn't become like a dead man when they saw the angel.
Okay.
That's a
good observation. But they might have been afraid, because the angel did say, "Don't be afraid." But you're right, they didn't become like dead men.
Yeah,
like dead men, yes.
I think that's because he probably commanded them, so they were probably like, "What's going on?"
Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
Similar, I said the angel spoke to the woman directly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing that I noticed was, and I'm kind of pondering on it, I'm wondering, Jesus commands the girls to go and tell the disciples to go to Galilee. There they will see me.
Yeah.
It's like, I wonder why Galilee? Why did he tell them to go there?
Okay.
Specifically.
Okay. We're not going to go down that discussion trail right now.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that at lunch or something if you want to ask.
Yeah.
And on their way, they saw Jesus. And Jesus,
that's right,
told them, "Don't afraid."
Okay, good. So we have more than an empty tomb, don't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not just the tomb is empty. We have an empty tomb. We have a declaration that he has risen, and then they actually see him personally.
So the angel tells them to go tell the other disciples.
Yes.
They immediately began doing it, and then they saw Jesus.
Yes.
I think that mattering is important.
Okay.
Because you see a lot of the disciples, or the, you know, they are told something, then Jesus appears, and then they start doing it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, kind of important.
Earthquake is for opening the tomb or for coming angel?
It doesn't say. So it was there. The earthquake and the angel are simultaneous. They're together. So the earthquake could have been part of what rolled away the stone. We had that at the crucifixion. Remember, there was an earthquake at the crucifixion, and many of the tombs were opened, it says. So the earthquake has the ability to do that, for sure. But there's an angel there, too, And it says the angel opened the tomb. So maybe the angel used the earthquake. Maybe he didn't. It doesn't say. They're together. That's all we know.
Yeah. Maybe the angel caused it. Maybe God caused it. No.
Yeah. Also, one thing I observed here is the when the angel said that Jesus is not here, for he has risen, the angel actually invited the women, come, see the place where he lay, instead of like just saying like, oh, you know, Jesus has risen and just go, you know. But the angel actually invited the women to,
yes,
to check.
That's there, right.
Where he was like, yeah.
Here, look at the empty tomb. This is where he was.
Yeah.
And we know that these two Marys were part of the burial. That's in chapter 27, verse 61. So these two Marys know, they were part of putting Jesus there.
Right.
They saw, like 2 days ago, they just saw it. They saw his dead body lying right there, and now it's not there. Okay. Anybody else? How about you?
Well, first that it was dawn. I hadn't really paid attention to that.
Okay.
They took hold of his feet.
Okay.
So maybe just in disbelief, you know, they didn't hug him, and they didn't just stand there. They went down, but they took hold of his feet.
Is that not a sign of like worship and reverence?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because they had seen someone like, they had seen him be killed. They saw him brutally be murdered, and they're probably looking like, what?
Mm-hmm.
What, like, absolute power? Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on here?
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, this story that you guys just did all these observations on is good news. This is really good news. In fact, if Jesus does not rise from the dead, there is no gospel. Christianity doesn't exist anymore. There's no good news of victory over sin, because there is no victory over sin if he doesn't rise from the dead. There is no good news of forgiveness if he does not rise from the dead. There is no good news of a glorious inheritance that we shall share with him if he doesn't rise from the dead. There's no good news of a new life. There is no new life. There's no good news of Jesus without the resurrection. The gospel is not good news unless Jesus is risen from the dead. Otherwise, it ends in a crucifixion, and that's not good news. Now, we've been talking over the weeks in this text of how to respond to this good news, and this is still where we are. How should we respond to this good news? And we respond to the resurrection, and we've talked in several things already. In verse 5, we respond by not being afraid. The angel said, don't be afraid. And then the angel describes, he's risen. Don't be afraid, Jesus is risen. So don't fear earth. Whatever your fears are here on earth, whether it's sickness or unemployment or, you know, whatever, you have no reason to be afraid. Jesus is risen from the dead. That's a huge thing. And so that's the first thing we've talked about, how to respond to this. Hold on to the resurrection when you fear. Because it is the resurrection is a fear conqueror. But then, verse 8, the women run away with fear. And we talked about this, but this is a different kind of fear. The fear comes in varieties, kind of like birds, you know. Just because it's a bird doesn't mean it's the same thing. There are different varieties of birds. There's different varieties of fear. Mm-hmm. And there's godly fear. There's the fear of God. Mm-hmm. And the angel, when the angel says, don't be afraid, the angel's not saying, don't fear God. But here, this is the fear of God. And this is something as well we need to understand and have. And Jesus is risen from the dead should put the fear of God in you. Because that, guys, that's power. That's a power you can't touch. And when you start coming across and coming face to face with that kind of power, there should be a healthy fear inside you of that kind of power. So we talked about that. Then we talked last week, also from verse 8, they ran with fear and great joy. And there should be joy. We should rejoice greatly. Why? Jesus is risen from the dead, guys. And we talked all of what that brings to us and all the reasons we have to rejoice last week because Jesus is risen from the dead. Now, all of those responses, don't be afraid of earth, fear God, rejoice, are all internal. They're heart responses. They're heart issues. Today we're going to look at a response that is, it begins internal, but it actually goes external. It's something we do. And verse 7, the angel says in verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. That's what the angel says. Then in verse 8, it says, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. They're going to do what the angel just said. And then verse 10, Jesus said to them, don't be afraid, go and tell my disciples. Now, guys, that's three times in four verses that we have a reference to the women going and telling somebody that Jesus is risen from the dead. That's pretty significant. And when they're going to tell, what are they going to tell? The resurrection. Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to tell.
Essentially the gospel, right?
Yeah, well, right now he's risen from the dead. That's the news right now at this particular juncture. And the resurrection is good news. They're going to go bring good news to the disciples. And when you have good news, you tell it. Isn't this true? I mean, when a baby is born, you tell people, hey, it's a boy. And you call your friends and your family, it's a boy. Or she said yes. And you call people and you said, she said yes. And or you get into the school you applied to and you wanted to get in and you tell people, I got in.
Yeah.
I got the job. I got a promotion. I got, when you have good news, you tell good news. It's just, it's what we do. It's kind of the most natural thing to do with good news is to tell people about it. Okay. Well, that's a necessary response to the resurrection. Because the resurrection is good news. And we need to tell people about it. And so, now, these women are in a bit of a unique situation that you and I are not in that they are the first ones who get to tell this message to somebody. And so, they're going to the disciples. And so, who else would they go to? I mean, that's those are the natural, that would be the first ones you would go to, right? Let's go tell them. We got to tell the disciples. Well, of course, the angel said and Jesus said. So they want the disciples to know first. But after the disciples hear, and after Jesus appears to the disciples, and he ascends, and the disciples start preaching. If you start reading through Acts, they preach the resurrection. That's actually the central focus of the preaching of the book of Acts. It begins at Pentecost with Peter talking about the resurrection of Christ. And throughout all of Peter's preaching, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. This is how Peter preaches when he's in Acts. They're preaching the resurrection. And so the women, they run to tell the disciples, and then the disciples, they run to tell the world. It's the same message. The women are telling the disciples, Jesus is risen from the dead. The disciples are then telling the world, Jesus is risen from the dead. This needs to be part of our response too. Jesus is risen from the dead. We need to go tell people. They need to know this. And when we tell people, we need to do it with a right heart. And what is a right heart? Well, that's a lot of the stuff we've discussed the past 3 weeks. Don't be afraid of man. Jesus is risen from the dead. Don't be afraid of what people think. Jesus is risen from the dead. Fear God. Instead, rather than fearing man, fear God. Jesus is risen from the dead. Tell them. Rejoice. That's a heart issue. Rejoice. He's risen from the dead. These are parts of the heart that we should have. It means you're not afraid of earth. You're not afraid of what your parents think, your brother, your sister, your friends. You're not afraid your culture is going to reject you. You might lose your job. You might, whatever. You understand Jesus is risen from the dead. Mm-hmm. And you rest in that. He's risen from the dead. Mm-hmm. And you know God has power over life and death. And you want to be on His side. And so you're willing to do hard things because you fear God. Because Jesus is risen from the dead. And you rejoice that sin is defeated and that death is defeated and that you have new life and that you yourself will be resurrected one day because Jesus is risen from the dead. And so you have hope. But it's not the kind of hope that this world has. See, our hope is not just that we'll get a new job or we won't get COVID or the government will change. We may hope those things, obviously, but that's not, as a Christian, where our main hope lies. Those kind of things are chump change, so to speak, compared to what we have through the resurrection of Christ. And we rejoice because Jesus is risen from the dead. And so before we tell people the message, we need a certain heart. And that's part of the heart. We want to speak of the foundation of the resurrection out of the foundation of a changed heart. I say that because a lot of people sometimes give the message, it's more from a dry, mechanical heart. And they don't rejoice in the message. They don't fear the God who gave and empowers the message. They just give words. And our message includes words, but it's so much more. It comes from a person who has met God. And it's different when it comes from a person who has met God. And so the resurrection of Jesus impacted these women at the tomb. It changed their hearts. They weren't just giving words when they ran to tell the disciples. They were communicating a message that had just turned their world upside down. It had just changed their lives. The lives of these women changed right here in Matthew 28. On the first day of the week, early in the morning, when they went to the tomb and had a conversation with an angel and saw an empty tomb and then met the risen Christ. Their lives just changed. And if you and I are going to give the message, that message needs to change our lives. We need to give it from that. So that's the first thing about telling people this good news. The next thing is that the resurrection of Jesus needs to be central to what we tell. We need to be telling people Jesus is risen from the dead. That is the message that changed the world. That message shocked first century Rome, especially given the fact that he was a crucified criminal, which in their culture, it would be shameful. This is the message that gave birth to Christianity. It's the resurrection of Christ. This is the preaching of the early church. This is what makes the good news good news. The power of the resurrection is what has changed your life and my life. And it is what will change other people's lives too. That's where the power is. It's in a resurrected Christ. No one is going to change their lives simply by hearing love your neighbor. As good as that is, and we should be telling people that, but that itself, by itself, isn't going to change people's lives. But when people grab hold of the resurrected Jesus, they change. In fact, they can't help but change when they grab hold of the resurrected Jesus. The resurrection is the power for change. The resurrection tells us Jesus is Lord. It screams, Jesus is Lord. If you really believe he has risen from the dead, you may no longer live for yourself. He is your king, period. He's risen from the dead. The resurrection sets Jesus apart from every other teacher, prophet, priest, king, imam, government leader, you name it, anyone who has lived in history, the resurrection sets Jesus apart from all of these other people. He's unique. He's different. He's higher than all of these other people. He reigns over these other people. He's king over all of these other people. He's risen from the dead. Buddha died. He was cremated. His ashes were put in different shrines all around wherever. Muhammad died. He remains in his tomb today. He's not risen from the dead. Chairman Mao died. He remains in his tomb to this day. Lenin died. He's in his tomb. All the emperors of Rome that ever lived, they died, and they stayed that way. Napoleon, Genghis Khan, Gandhi, King Cyrus. They all died, and they're still there. Jesus died, but his tomb is empty. He is not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he lay. He's risen from the dead. This sets Jesus apart. You can't compare Jesus to anybody else in history in this respect. The resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate claim to his preeminence. It says Jesus is superior to all other religious leaders who've ever existed. Jesus is superior to all other government leaders who have ever existed. Jesus is superior to all other philosophers, scientists, you name it. Just pick somebody who ever existed. Jesus is superior. That's what the resurrection says. It shouts it. It shouts it from the mountains. The resurrection says, this is God's Son. Listen to him. The resurrection says, Jesus is your Lord and King. Submit to him. That message needs to go to the world. The crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus are the key to knowing God. We talked, you know, we practiced communion earlier, the crucifixion. We're talking about the resurrection. This is how you know God. You know God right here through these things. You do not know God by going and doing whatever. You know God by resting and trusting in what he has done through the resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. This is what opens the door to knowing God. Remove the resurrection, you cannot know God. When you think of who God is, how great he is, and who you are, you really think you can know God? Unless God does something? And here's the thing, knowing God is the whole point of life. It's what life's about. You want to go through life and miss the entire point? If not, you need the resurrection. Without it, you will not know God. You actually cannot know God without it. With it, you can know God right now through the power of the resurrected Christ. That's how crucial the resurrection is. It's central to the whole point of life. It's central to why you exist. Think of what Paul said about knowing Christ in Philippians 3. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. He's talking about that I may know him. Listen to the connection. In the same letter, Philippians 2, that, if this is in Philippians, so in Philippians 2, the chapter previous to what I just quoted, Jesus was in the form of God, but he emptied himself and he took on the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man and becoming obedient unto death. This is what Jesus was. He was in the form of God, but he became a man. But then, just a few verses down from there, Jesus is the one to whom every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus is very plainly described as God. And knowing Jesus is tied to what in Philippians 3? It's tied to the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, tied to the cross and the resurrection. Knowing God is tied to the cross and the resurrection. You can't untie them. That's how you know God. You know him through those means. It's not tied to hearing his teachings, as good as that might be. It's not tied to loving your neighbor, as good as that might be. It's tied to the cross and the resurrection. That's how you know God. You know God through those things. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, remove these facts, the cross and the resurrection. You can't know God. You just can't. And that's the whole point of life. Now, too many people who go by the name of Christian have very little desire to know God, unfortunately. When I first met Leanne, I had a passion to know her. I wanted to know her when I first met her. I had a desire to know her better. This is how it needs to be with us and God. And so many of us, we have a passion to know a girl, but no passion to know the glorious, beautiful creator of our souls, who far surpasses the girl in beauty. No offense. But if you think how people live so much, God wants us to know him, but we're more concerned with getting our car repaired than knowing God. We're more concerned with visa status or finding a better job or whatever it is here on earth. This is where this is where our eyes are. We don't have a passion to know God. We just, I need some money so I can repair my car. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is, when you look around at people and life, and this is where people are. Are those things really more important than knowing God? But we often live as if they are. You can know God. This is one of the central messages of the Bible. You can know God. And not only can you need to know God. And you should be passionate about knowing God. That knowing God shouldn't just be knowing God should be something you pursue with everything you have. And you can know him only because Jesus is risen from the dead. If Christ has not been raised, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is in vain and you are still in your sins. That's how Paul put it. That's why we must go tell others that Jesus is risen from the dead. They need to hear it. This is news you cannot keep to yourself. You can't. This is too good. This is better than she said yes. And that's good news, by the way.
Not there.
What's that?
So we're not there yet.
That's right. Oh man. It will, the resurrection will free your family if they will receive it. It will free them. It will deliver your friends from sin if they'll believe it. It will transform your neighbors if they will grab hold of it. And you can't keep it to yourself. You can't. They have to know Jesus is risen from the dead. They have to know that they have to submit to him, that he's Lord. They have to know they can know God through him. They have to know this. It's not optional. Tell the world. Tell your coworkers, tell your family, tell your ESL students, Jesus is risen from the dead. You say, I know, but you don't understand. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not one of those bold evangelist guys that goes around telling people, and I just can't talk to everyone. Well, listen, neither am I. I mean, the message I'm giving you now, I actually wrestle with myself, because I'm not one of those guys. My gifting isn't just going and telling people everything. I'm not wired that way. But I see that as a weakness. in me that I need to work on. And the weakness isn't my quiet personality, because I tend to be on the quiet side in general. That itself isn't a weakness. That's just a personality thing. The weakness is using my quiet personality as an excuse to not do what I'm supposed to do. The personality God made, but he didn't make it as an excuse. There are strengths in the personality, and there are weaknesses in it. And you all have different personalities, and you have strengths and weaknesses. And some of you will be more inclined toward going and telling the world than others. And that's fine. God made you that way. But I don't care who you are. You have to do it in some form or fashion. Some will be more bold, I suppose, than others. But you have to do it. And it's an area in me where God has to push me. It's an area in me where I have to die to self, which this is part of Christianity, this business of dying to self. Not so I can share the resurrection in some sort of awkward, phony way, but so that I am intentionally looking for natural ways to tell people that Jesus is risen from the dead. And so the Christian faith often involves this business of dying to yourself. This is a central concept in Christianity. It's part of the cross. You have to take up your cross to follow Jesus. But you die to self because you have a greater passion for something else. That's what causes you to die. When Jesus went to the cross, you remember in Gethsemane, he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." What that tells me is it was not Jesus' will to go to the cross as a man personally. He didn't want to do it, but he did want something else. And he wanted that something else more passionately. And he was able to die to what he wanted because he wanted something else. He wanted the glory of God. And that's how this dying to self business works. And for some of us, if we're going to go tell the world Jesus is risen from the dead, we might have to die to self. Which means there needs to be a passion somewhere else that drives that. Okay, so how do you respond to the resurrection? You go and you tell people Jesus is risen from the dead. So here's what I want you to do now. On that sheet where it says response at the bottom, I want you to write down the names of five people in your world who do not know Jesus. And now what I want you to do is two things. I want you first to pray for natural opportunities to tell these people that Jesus is risen from the dead. So pray for natural opportunities, open doors, if you want to put it that way. Two, sometime this week, I'm going to ask you to tell at least one of them that Jesus is risen from the dead. Just tell them that and, you know, get into a conversation about that. Pray for the open door. And when the door opens, take it. Walk through the door and tell them. Tell them about your faith, about Christianity, what Christianity really is about. And then we're going to close just by praying together.